It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Desley, it's been so long. How are you?
I know, it's been ages. It's been ages. So much has happened since we've last spoken. I think, what do we have? We've had the local government elections.
Mm-hmm.
Auckland has 5 new councillors, which is great, actually. It's almost quarter. And, you know, every team, every board, and certainly our Auckland is always better when you get a bit of new people, new blood, new ideas, new, mm-hmm. you know, enthusiasm, and some existing people. So it's great to have that real mix. We've got 3 women and 2 guys, so it always the gender equity thing is always great. So those new 5 new councillors have been given some really good jobs too in Auckland Council by the mayor, so that's looking really cool. We've had the World Indigenous Education People's Conference. I mean, that was amazing in Auckland. It basically brought 4,000 people into the region from around the globe celebrating Indigenous culture and education. And it was just great to see that real melting pot float through our city. We had a Metallica. I was there. You'd be proud of me.
Did you? Did you go to Metallica?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Metallica. I kid you not. Yes, in my black leather jacket, and I was there.
you go, girl.
But it was raining for about 3 days. But yeah, I was there. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. We've had the Sustainable Business Network Awards, which were also amazing. You know, business that are really pushing sustainability across New Zealand and, of course, in our city. We've had Bus Driver Appreciation Day. It has all gone off.
Things are happening.
We've got Christmas trees propping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
December on Monday.
Oh, yeah. It's been
all gone.
Big time for you. And there's been some really big changes coming about. One of those in particular that we really wanted to talk to you about was Plan Change 120. It's been quite hotly contested, and there's been a few developments since we spoke about this last time. Do you want to tell us where it's up to?
Well, we're right in the middle of consultation. So what's mm-hmm. happening around Motu is that, you know, people are learning more about what it really means, what it means for their property, what it means sort of as a region, as a city, what they think about it. They're listening to people and they're beginning to make submissions. Mm-hmm. And I think this is really healthy. You know, I think there's some interesting wide-ranging sort of views coming out. One is, on one hand, you've got it's great to have more capacity. More capacity often people think means more affordability. But the government's direction to sort of ensure that capacity is around things like frequent transport corridors, mm-hmm. like the Northern Busway, parts of the city that have good access to jobs, parks, schools, shops, blah, 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 train stations. So you've got that. Then, but you've got some concerns. People are worried about, have we got the infrastructure to cope? And that's kind of a common concern. Interestingly enough, the plan that we've currently got, if that was all realised in all its form immediately right now, we wouldn't have the infrastructure either. So kind of planning and infrastructure, although they go together, you've got to, it's more about what it would look like in a perfect world, and then you go drill down to a consent. You can't get a consent if the infrastructure is there. But it's you know, it's got its people who love it, and it's got its people who've got concerns. But it's all about listening, isn't it? Yeah,
and I think there's a bit of a sentiment out there of people who kind of don't understand what decisions have been actually sent down to you from central government. And this includes the taller buildings around the 5 key Western Line train stations.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, people are quick to be like, oh, the council's going to make these tall buildings near my house. But that's actually a central government decision, right? And you as a council can't push back on that.
Look, so let's just be clear here. What central government did was a number of things. Mm-hmm. One, it responded to us and said, you can stop doing what you're doing and have a new plan so that you can downzone in flood-prone areas and have stronger planning rules around, natural hazards, you know, because I think we've all remember the 23 storms, and we wanted to be able to make space for water and ensure that we didn't allow people to keep building in areas that we knew were had major flooding issues, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was good. That was the positive thing. They responded to us and said, okay, you can change the plan. Then they said, but if you change the plan, you have to keep the same capacity or more than the plan that the government, inverted commas, gave you last time. So Labor and National did a deal last time, three houses, three stories, anywhere across the region, all right? Mm-hmm. That was the deal. This government said, well, you can take that away and strengthen the rules around natural hazards, etc., but you have to keep the same capacity. They also said that you had to focus on intensification along around the metro centres, which are things like Albany, Westgate, Newmarket, Manukau and City Centre, and frequent bus corridors, as I said, like the Northern Busway, and specifically around the train stations that will benefit from CRL. All right?
Yeah.
So that is where the focus has been first. But that doesn't always make up your capacity from the last plan. So there is other upzoning, for want of a better word, in other places to keep making up the money. The mm-hmm. government didn't come up with the $2 million figure that everyone says the government are forcing us to find 2 million more homes. They didn't. It was, they said you have to keep the same as the last plan, what they call the MDRS or Plan Change 78.
Yes, so it's in consultation right now. If people need to make a submission, they can?
Oh, absolutely. And look, they can make it by phone, by email. There are even people, if you go to AK, have your say on this one. Mm-hmm. There's even people who will talk you through how to make a submission. And I don't know whether people know that very much, but they are very helpful people. There's a mobile number and an email address there, and they will help people actually make their submission. Because basically saying no isn't an option. You know, we have to do something. And I think if you think that there's an issue in your area, you don't like how high it's gone, for example, you have to figure out where it would be replaced, because the numbers have to stack up.
Right.
I think that's the hardest thing for people to get their heads around.
That AK Have Your Say website regarding Plan Change 120, it's quite useful, I think, if you're kind of scratching your head being like, this is a bit beyond me, it's probably a really good place to start.
Look, it is, and the trouble is there's a hang of a lot of information up there, and some of it is pretty technical.
Mm-hmm.
So look, the other option is, as I said, contact one of these, one of the people which is on that, if you keep scrolling down, they're there. There is a meeting in the city, 6:30 p.m., on Monday at RTS Centre in the Waitakere room, an in-person meeting. And I know a lot of the councillors have got, you know, localised meetings, but and local boards in their area, I think, might have had, you know, three or four. But this one on Monday is for the central area. So if you live in the central area and you really want to know about it and you're close to the city and you want to come along in person, that one's available. But all the videos from other sessions are actually on there too. So if you've just got a bit of time, you just get on the website and just take your time and go through. And the other thing is ring somebody. Ring somebody like me or send me an email. I don't mind. I'll answer your questions. The Unitary Plan line have an email address, Unitary Plan. Have a designated email address that they will answer your questions in a timely manner to help you do it as well.
Mm. I'd love to touch briefly on what's happening with Eden Park at the moment as well, because I know that the council is making a decision about its response to the government's suggestion to loosen restrictions on concerts at Eden Park, which, you know, we all love a good gig, a good concert, and we know that loosening the restrictions, as Minister for RMA Reform Chris Bishop has said, will, you know, drive more economic growth, more employment. But I'm a little bit concerned perhaps about the impacts this could have on the residents of Maungafo.
Yeah, look, I think that's a very valid thing to say. Today, I am off after I have hung up from you to go to the town hall where we were discussing this very item. So if you backtrack, The Minister, as you quite rightly, wrote to the Council with a copy of a report he'd commissioned on the restrictions on the operation of Eden Park. We know that when Eden Park puts on a major concert, it brings a huge amount of benefit to the city, all right? I mean, I was speaking to the manager of the Newmarket Business Association, and he was saying, look, you know, whenever Eden Park runs a major concert, our business numbers, our spend numbers go up in Newmarket. So we do know that. We know that they came in something like just under 40 million, I think it was 37 million in sort of GDP for the Auckland region just in last year alone. So it does make a huge economic contribution to the city. It has a lot of jobs. Eden Park commissioned a report by Waipapa Taumātoro, the University of Auckland, where it says, you know, it does make a huge amount of impact on employing people as well. So, look, but then it is in a residential zone, right? Mm. And so on one hand, you've got people who are living next to Eden Park that you say may be concerned, but interestingly enough, the local MP, Helen White, did a survey out to residents, and look, I haven't got the survey in front of me, but it was something like over 70% said they wanted more concerts.
Wow.
So it's interestingly enough, and I will have her survey open when we had this discussion at the town hall today. I'm sorry, I just don't have it open with me now, but I was really surprised at that, and I kind of feel, well, if her survey has that kind of result, we know what the economic opportunity is if they are able to have more concerts. It would be kind of silly not to join the two dots together.
Mm, we've got some texters who are a little bit concerned perhaps that the infrastructure isn't quite holding up in Mount Eden though, because of course, you know, a lot of people are driving in and then clogging up street parking because potentially there isn't enough public transport options. Are we considering that in terms of if we are to grow the scope of events at Eden Park?
Well, anyone who drives to Eden Park for a concert needs their head read, if you ask me. I mean, what you tend to have with major events is extra trains and extra buses. I mean, the buses come from all across the region. They come right outside the main gate. I mean, they come into Eden Park, into the footprint of Eden Park. They don't even park on the road. You literally are 13 steps from a gate, you know. So every event on the public transport, you know, has major public transport. I think it's 60% of people taking PT, 60% of people going to Eden Park take public transport. You know, for the people who live there, they are still able to get there by car. They still have a parking park permit. But yeah, the public transport is actually really good. I don't think very rarely would I ever consider driving to Eden Park. It just makes such a big difference, you know. The public transport is really good.
Mm, we look forward to hearing how it all goes after today. I would like to briefly touch on, before you leave us, what happened at the governing body meeting on Tuesday. There was a little bit of drama that unfolded when the Palestinian Solidarity Network requested permission to speak on flying the Palestine flag on the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, which is happening on November 29th. Mayor Wayne Brown refused them the opportunity to speak, despite there being multiple points of order raised by different councillors. Why do you think that decision was made?
Well, for someone who was sitting in the room, I wasn't quite sure what they wanted to speak about. If you were there and you didn't actually know. Look, at the end of the day, council is a process-driven organisation, and a chair of the committee has the ultimate ruling, all right? So you can, I mean, most people think that anyone can come and speak to council and councillors. That's not actually the case. What the chair, and look, I haven't spoken to the mayor straight after the governing body meeting. He went up north for the funeral of a very dear friend up north who sadly was tragically murdered. And he's back today, and I will speak to him today. But at the end of the day, if public want to come and speak about something on the agenda, that is a reason to accept. If it's not on the agenda or not something that council is responsible for, that usually is a no. You can have a point of order, and that was raised, but at the end of the day, the chair considered and ruled against it. Now, he was saved a little bit because somebody else who chairs another meeting said they can come and speak to my committee. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the issue was. I think I want people to be really clear what the mayor did was something he was entitled to do under the process.
Do you feel his response to the protesters chanting Free Palestine with free beer was appropriate?
Well, I'm not going to comment on what the mayor says, but I also, I don't think what the mayor said was probably that appropriate, but I don't think that shouting in the chamber was appropriate either. So at the end of the day, I don't think anyone came out with the finest result on that day.
Mm. Councillor John Watson pointed out in his point of order that the request he believed was appropriate, as the request to fly the Palestinian flag is a request that could be granted by the governing body. Do you have any idea what the next steps on this might be?
Look, as I said, until you kind of just said now, I wasn't quite sure exactly what they were asking, so I'd have to check. But all I will say is it's the mayor's ruling on the day. He considered it, ruled against it, and they will have their chance to present their case to the community committee.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Desley. We greatly appreciate it.
No worries. Have a good day. Thank you.
You too, Ka kite.
Bye.
Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.